Welcome back, everybody. We're beginning a new sugya. I say new tentatively because not entirely new. It's connected to the previous sugya. And in fact, I'm going to recommend that at some stage, either together or not together, but we should go over the previous sugya because it's very much connected. Now, I offer a warning, a little bit of warning. This is a complicated sugya. It's a complicated sugya, even though it's just a few lines, but there's many parts to it, and there's a lot of tesis in. Did you get the Ma'ar Mokomis, the sheets? Yeah? So we'll be seeing those as well in the coming days, perhaps not today, but it's a complicated sugya, and like a lot of complicated sugyas, the best way and the only way is to take it slowly, and to sum up at every stage where we're up to at this stage of the game. Are we good? Are we not good? The kasha, the teretz, we'll see there's machlokes, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It's a little bit complicated, so let's try Mitzvah Hashem, we'll work it through slowly, and we'll get it all clear. Be'ezras Hashem. On Lamed Tes on the base, we are on the sixth line. Itmar. Itmar. Now, you'll remember that the last sugya dealt with making a bracha over a slice of bread. And the question is, do you make a bracha, do you not make a bracha? Do you make the bracha and only then slice the bread? What about Shabbos? We will at some stage have to go over it because Tosfos at the bottom of the Amud very much makes reference to our sugya. Very much makes reference to our sugya. And we'll see there's a Rashba, I think that's the first Ma'ar Mokom on the sheet. He also sends us to our sugya, and in light of our sugya, we understand better the previous sugya. So we really have to learn the two together. But let's go slowly. Itmar. We have learned the following. Heviu lifnehem. They brought in front of them psisin v'shleimin. Psisin v'shleimin. Now, we've had the words psisin a few times in this parak before. For the moment, we're going to translate psisin as?
Pieces.
Yossi Benjamin would be in our shir, for sure he would say psisin and pieces, all the same thing. So you have pieces or slices of bread, v'shleimin, and also whole loaves of bread. The question being, which one should you make a bracha on? And obviously we're talking about, we want to eat both. If you only eat one, then obviously that's the one you make a bracha on. But I'm talking about, says the Gemara, you're actually planning on eating the shalim, and also the psisin. So the question is, which one do you make a bracha on? And that will patter, that will exempt the other. Omer avhuna, mevorech al hapsisin, upoiter es hashleimin. Now let's translate literally, we'll see Rashi in a moment. One makes a bracha over the psisin, which is the slices. The poiter, that will exempt the shleimin. Now, simply read, does that make any sense to us? Why does that not make sense?
So we don't know which is larger, which is...
Even without getting involved with large for the moment. Yeah, but just explain why simply read it can't make sense. If you translate literally, it sounds like what you should be doing is make a bracha on the slice and that will exempt the shalim. Now, that can't be literal translation, why not? Which way?
Both ways.
The other way.
Yeah.
In other words, how can there possibly be an instruction that you must make a bracha on the slice and that will exempt the shleimin? What, you can't do the other way around? How does that make sense? If you want to say that the psisin is also, you're allowed to make a bracha on the psisin as well, fine, but only on the psisin? How does that make sense? So immediately look in the Rashi, and Rashi immediately points this out. Rashi says, "Psisin v'shleim omar ravuna im rotza." So Rashi's already given the whole game away. Im rotza. If you so desire. The Gemara is not telling you that you must do this, rather you may do this. If you so desire, for whatever reason, then mevarech al hapsisin. Period. We'll carry on the rest of the Rashi in a moment. So Rashi is immediately telling you that the Gemara is not teaching us that you have to make a bracha on the psisin. It doesn't make any sense. How can the psisin be better off than the shleimin? Of course, this is going to be the big discussion in our Gemara all about choshev. We haven't yet, by the way, mentioned one word to do with size. That's Rashi coming up in a moment. We'll see, it's a big discussion in the Gemara. But for the moment, let's assume that size is not a factor and that the slice and the loaf is exactly the same size. How can that be? Now you have a thick slice of bread and you have a sholem, which is a small roll. Not talking about a whole massive loaf. They're basically exactly the same size. Therefore, there's nothing to distinguish between them with regard to size. So the way Rashi is learning the Gemara is, if you so desire, for whatever reason, in Rotz, if you want, you can make a bracha on the psisim. Which obviously means, but if, however, you want to make a bracha on the sholem, obviously that's okay. Obviously that's okay. If you make a bracha on the sholem, and that will exempt the psisim, obviously that way around makes sense. The chiddush is that even making a bracha on the psisim, that's also a valid option. But not only, rather also. Now, Rashi continues over here with a very, very important line. Let's carry on Rashi. And this makes very, very big nafkum in his lahalacha. We'll see, Tosfos gets very upset with Rashi. We have to know where Rashi's coming from. Says Rashi, Ve'im ha'psisin gedoilin min ha'shleimin. If, however, the slices are larger than the shleimin, then tzorich levorich aleihem. The optimum word being tzorich. As opposed to what I told you in the beginning, says Rashi, where it's optional imrotza. You only have a choice if what? If they're the same size. But the minute that the psisin are larger, then that trumps the sholim. Even though it's only a slice, and the whole one is sholim. So at this stage of the game, it sounds like the Gemara is teaching us, the way Rashi learns, that there is no advantage whatsoever to a sholem over and above psisim. There's nothing to distinguish them. If there was, then the halacha would absolutely be make a bracha on a sholem and that would exempt the psisim. Rashi's teaching us, that's the way he learns Rav Huna, that no, that's Rav Huna's chiddush. Absolutely no difference whatsoever. So if I'm weighing up the two, and I see them both in front of me, the fact that one's sholem and one is broken is no difference to me. Says Rashi, if one is large and one is small, then what? You've got to go to large, even if that's a psisim. Right, Reb Nachum, one of the rayas that large is advantageous. Nothing against tall people.
Not at all.
No? Some of the nicest people you know are. Right, okay.
All around people.
I'll call Ponim Voifen. That's what Rav Huna is teaching us for the moment. Now, we don't know at this stage where Rashi got this from. Do we know where Rashi got this from? Where did Rashi throw in this comment that if, however, it would be large, then everything would change? At this stage of the game, we don't obviously know where Rashi got that piece of information from. So we'll have to bear this in mind and learn the Gemara and see if we can find a source for Rashi's comment. Okay. Back into the Gemara again. Itmar, if you lifneim psisin v'shlemin. Omer avon mavorich ala psisin. Upoiter es ha-shlemin. And you would exempt the shlemin. You should be medaic. I'm not sure if there's anything to be made from this. But so far, the Gemara is teaching it to us b'loshen rabin. Psisin shlemin. I'm assuming for the moment that it makes no difference. Even if I just have one slice and one sholem, the loch will be exactly the same. Happens to me, we're talking about you have several slices and several sholem, and I'm not sure why that would make any difference, so let's assume for the moment that it doesn't. Omar Rav Huna Mavorech ala psisin, you make a bracha on the psisin. Rashi said, if you want, you can make a bracha on the psisin. Upoiter es ha-shleimin. Now we will see. Tosis jumps up and down over here and gets very upset with Rashi, but in order to understand Tosis, we have to continue first in the Gemara. V'Reb Yochanan Omar, Shleimo Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar. So is Rabbi Yochanan agreeing, disagreeing, vehemently or non-vehemently with Rav Huna? How vehemently?
Not so much.
Not so much.
It's just a mitzvah.
Right. He doesn't say you're absolutely wrong, you have no choice whatsoever, you must make a bracha on the shalem.
It's preferable.
He says it's preferable. It's a mitzvah on a mufcha. You make no distinction, Rav Huna. I, Rav Yochanan, do make a distinction, but not to the point that you have to make a bracha on the shalem. That he didn't say. He just said it's a mitzvah min amuvcha. It's preferable. But there's nothing wrong with doing it the other way around as well. It's a mitzvah min amuvcha. It's a mitzvah min amuvcha. We didn't say chayv. However,
so you're mafato a mitzvah according to him.
Mitzvah min amuvcha. Mitzvah min amuvcha. You're not a mitzvah. Mitzvah min amuvcha. By the way, it's not a real mitzvah as such. Not to me, a mitzvah deraisa. It's a whole thing of brachas that you didn't drabon on. Mitzvah namuvcha is just an expression meaning that is the choicest way to go about it. But I never said that you have to. And if for whatever reason you absolutely insist on making a bracha on the psisin, not the end of the world. So therefore, he's disagreeing, but not vehemently. Avol prusa shel chitin v'shleima min hasairin. Now what's prusa? Also a piece. Which immediately sets an alarm bell, and Tosfos will pick up on this. Why are we changing the word for peace? In the beginning, we didn't call it prusais, we called it psisim. Why have we switched terminology and now we call it prusa? But for the moment, we'll gloss over that and we'll say, yeah, it means all the same. It means a slice. That's one of Tosfos' problems with Rashi, we'll get there later. Aval prusa shel chitin v'shleima min hasa'irin. If the prusa and the shleima that you've got in front of you, which we have two opinions, either you can do whatever you like, or you should preferably make a bracha on the shalem. But if the shalem is sa'irin, then what? Divrei HaKoil. Everybody would agree. Who's everybody?
Rav Huna
and Rav Yochanan. Mevorech al haprusa shel chitin upoiter es hashleima shel sa'irin. That you have to. Not that you can, not that it's preferable, but rather you must make a bracha over and above on the wheat. Why? So Rashi doesn't say anything over here. So if Rashi doesn't say anything, we have to know Rashi's silence is the loudest scream possible. So if Rashi doesn't say anything, apparently, what must I deduce from Rashi, if Rashi doesn't comment? It must be poshut. So in order to understand this line of the Gemara, I don't need to start looking at the back and looking at it. Apparently I can work it out in based on pure logic, otherwise Rashi would have been there to help us out. And he didn't. So apparently I can work it out. So what must be the svara? Choshuv. So now we're introducing for the first time the concept of choshuv. It's not absolutely the first time, because Rabbi Yochanan held that Sholem is more choshuv than a psisim. But not to the extent of chitin versus sayin. That's why this whole Gemara is a little bit tricky. We're dealing with a whole ladder of different standards. We have to know where everything goes. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's true. Sholem versus psisim, Sholem is
preferable.
It's more choshuv. But it's not that much more choshev to the extent that I would say that you must make a bracha on the shalem. When you have chito versus sa'irin, however, then what?
Even a piece is more
chayim.
So now, let me ask you a silly question. If I've got two shleimim, a loaf of bread, a roll, one's chita and one's sa'irin. Which one do I make a bracha on?
Chita.
Why is that a silly question?
Because even though it's smaller,
they're shleimim.
Right. Because if the Gemara said that chitin trumps sa'irin even when the chita is a piece, you don't mean smaller. I mean, it could be the same size. But even when it's not shalim, even when it's a broken piece, it still trumps it. Kol shekein, obviously, when they're both shalim. Or for that matter, both prusas. That's why it's a silly question. So we're being taught over here that whether or not Sholem is more important than a Prusa, it all is irrelevant when you're dealing with Chita versus Saira. The differential between Chita and Saira is so great that Chita would, under all circumstances, trump Saira, even if Saira is a Sholem. Now, again, we have to be very, very, very clear. The Gemara just said, a chiddush, a halacha, that if I have chita, which is a piece, I have sa'ira, which is a shalim, you must make a bracha on the chita. Is that a chiddush according to Rav Huna, Rav Yochanan, or both? A, B, or C, which option do you go for?
Question.
The last chiddush of the Gemara. You have chita versus sa'irin. Chita is a piece, it's a prusa. Sa'irin is a shlema, and the Gemara said you make a bracha on the chita. Is that a bracha, is that a chiddush according to Rav Huna, A, Rabbi Yochanan, B, or both, C?
It's both.
Quite right. It's a chiddush according to everybody. Why? Because until now, what were the options? Either according to Rav Huna, do whatever you like, or according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's preferential to make a bracha on a shalim. But either way, nobody ever said that you must make a bracha on the prusa. There's no such thing. And here we're being told that yes, over here you must make a bracha on the prusa. Why must you make a bracha on the prusa? Because chit is more chashuv. Now, notwithstanding what we saw in Rashi before, at the moment, do we all agree that we have not seen any reference to size so far? Certainly not in the Gemara. We have not yet mentioned the word size. When we're discussing a Prusa versus a Sholem, there's no reason to assume that the Sholem is bigger than the Prusa.
Rashi.
Before Rashi. In the Gemara. Prusa just means a slice. Sholem means it's whole. But which one is bigger? I have no idea. It could be the slice is bigger than the sholem. I have no idea. If I take a loaf of bread and cut it into half, presumably that's called a slice. I have a little roll. That's a sholem. It's much smaller. So we're not discussing size so far. We haven't yet seen size as a factor. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yirmiya Ba'abo Ketanoi. Let us suggest, and we'll see the Gemara eventually is chayza from this, Gemara backs down, but let us suggest that what? That the... It's a machloikas tanoim. What's a machloikas tanoim? Says Rashi on the last wide line. Ketanoi. Hod omrat. That which you said, Prusa shel chitin, v'shleima shel sa'irin, that you have to make a bracha on the chitin, it seems to be tanoi. He is machlokes tanoim. You said it as if it's absolutely unanimously agreed upon. A divrei hakoil, everybody would say you make a bracha on the chita. Says the Gemara, whoa, 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 whoa. Who says? It's not so pashat. Maybe it's machlokes tanoim. Why? Says the Gemara. Now this is tricky, and we have to now learn this slowly. Toir Mirm, this is a Mishnah in Trumas. How do I know it's a Mishnah in Trumas? Because there's a star, and at the side it says Trumas Perek Beis Mishnah Hey. If you want to see the exact reference in the Rambam, what would I look at?
Hilchas
Trumas Perek Hey Halacha Beis. That's what it says in the margin in the Gimel. Okay. Toirmin, Botzel, Cotton, Sholem. So now we're introducing size for the first time. We're dealing with truma of an onion. You've got to take truma from an onion. You should be Toirim, right? You have 25 onions, 100 onions in front of you. Some are big, some are small. Some are whole, some are not whole. And I've got to give some of it to a kohen. Me'ikar adin, how much do I have to give to a kohen? No. No. Me'ikar adin, min ha'toira.
Toira? It's mashu.
Mashu, whatever you want. Chazal said you should go the 50th. If you're generous, the 40th. If you're stingy, the 60th. The 10th is Maisa. By the way, I'll leave you with a question. If that's really true, and it is true, that Truma, you only have to give a tiny amount, whatever you want, so why was that not mentioned in the Mishnah that we said this morning in Shachris? Eilu Dvarim Shein Lohem Shiur. There's Peya, Bikurim. I didn't say Truma. Truma has no Shiur. You can give whatever you like.
But there is a max.
What's the max?
You can't give away everything.
Oh, you can't give everything. What about Peya? Bikurim? Can you give all your Bikurim? Anyway, I'll leave you that with a question. Fine, so back to our subject. So you can give whatever you like. So we're not discussing how much you have to give, because you can give whatever you like. We're not discussing how much, we're discussing what you have to give. Termin, botzel, cotton, sholem, avaloi, chatzi, botzel, godel. I've got two onions in front of me. One is small, but whole. One is a half, but it's godel. Now, which one is bigger? The half big or the whole small?
Half big.
So Rashi learns, again, we'll see, Tosfos disagrees. Rashi learns that the half big is bigger. So just to make it easier for us to swallow this, let's make up some numbers. The cotton is 100 grams. The god oil is 500 grams. So the cotton sholem is 100. The chatzi god oil is 250. So even when it's been sliced into half, it's still bigger than the cotton sholem. And what does the first opinion say? Which one do you have to give?
Cotton.
The cotton sholem. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer loiki. Not so. Elo chatzi botzil godel. You've got to give the 250 grams of the godel, even though it's not a shom. So we seem to have a machlekas. Which is better off, the small hole or the large non-shalim? Cotton shalim or godel chatzi? Says the Gemara, my love, isn't it true, which is always the giveaway that's going to be eventually not true, but my love, wouldn't it be true to say that Baha Kamiflagi, that this is the discussion? Demar Sovar Choshuv Odif Mar Sovar Sholem Odif. This is tricky. There's no two ways about it. This is tricky. Medaf halten kop runachem. What are my options over here? If you were voting for the cotton sholem, why would you vote for the cotton sholem?
Because sholem.
And if you were voting for the chatzi godel, what would your vote be because of?
Size.
Because of size. And the Gemara calls that choshev. Gemara didn't say size versus sholem. Gemara says choshuv versus sholem. So suddenly size and choshuv seems to be connected. So for the moment we're assuming, Rav Nachman will be in full agreement, that godel is more choshuv. You know, Napoleon was very, very short. Very short. Somebody once came up to him and said, "Oh wow, look, I'm much bigger than you." "You're not, you're just taller." He was, of course, wrong. I'll call upon Ivarifan. What's the machloikas over here? We have two opinions in the Mishnah. That's why the Gemara calls it katanoim, machloikas tanoim. Cotton sholem or godoil not sholem. First opinion says, give the cotton sholem. Second opinion says, Rabbi Yehuda, give the godel einay sholem. Remember, Tosfos Rashi told us that it's bigger, it's 250 grams. So what does the Tanna Kamma hold? That which one trumps at the end of the day? Sholem. So I'm giving a cup. And what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Chashuv wins the day. So it seems to be, says the Gemara, that I've got a machloikas. What, in fact, is more significant? Shalem or Chashuv? So now back to our chitin and sa'irin story. I've got a chita and I've got a sa'irin. Now, the chita is what? Is a prusa. The sa'irin is a shalem. So I've got one factor in favor of the sa'irin, which is that it's a shalem. On the other hand, I've got another factor in favor of the chitin, which is that it's choshev. By the way, why is chitin choshev? Why is chitin considered more choshev than sa'irin? So either because it's mentioned first in the posuk, or because essentially it's just more choshev. Sa'irin is given to animals, animal food. Who do we feed sa'irin to? Chazal tell us the isha saita. Why? Because she behaved like a behemoth, we give her Michael behemoth. Sa'irin is always considered not choshev. So ultimately, what was I really weighing up when I had chita prusa versus sa'ira shalem? I was weighing up shalem versus choshev. And what did the Gemara say? The divrei hakoil? Everybody agrees that what wins the day? Choshev, in other words, chita. Says the Gemara, whoa. Seems to be machlekes tanoim. This way up of choshev versus sholem is l'chayra the exact discussion of small onion or big onion, and we're calling small and big choshev and not choshev. On the other hand, the small one is sholem and the big one is not sholem. And the Tanna Kamma says you give the cotton shalem, and the Rabbi Yehuda says you give the godoil einoi shalem. So that which we said before, that if you've got a choice of the chita prusa or the sa'ira shalem, everybody would agree make a bracha on the chita because it's more choshev. And I couldn't care less for the moment about shalem or not shalem. Why? Because choshev trumps shalem. That only seems to fit in with whose opinion? Is that the Tanna Kamma's opinion? Or is that the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda? Because what did Rabbi Yehuda say? I'm not interested in the fact that the smaller onion is shalem. I go for choshev. And because the large one is more choshev, that trumps. Fine, so you go with choshev. I understand, yes, you'd make a bracha on chitin even though it's a prusa. But I'm sorry to tell you that Tanna Kamma did not say that. Tanna Kamma said you make a bracha, or you give the truma of the cotton shalim. So apparently when he weighs up shalim versus choshev, he's of the opinion that what's more significant? Shalim. So in the case of chita sa'ira al-chayra, he would say make a bracha on the sa'ira. So why are you telling me that divrei hakoyel is the most posh thing in the world? Apparently it's not very posh at all. Now, before we see the continuation of the Gemara, firstly let's just see one Rashi. Rashi says, Avol loy chatzi botzel godoil, v'afal pi sheyesh boy yoser mikotan sholim. Even though it has in it, what's in it? In the broken godoil, it has more in it than the complete cotton. Now, I warned you before, it's a little bit complicated, this. Would you agree, or would you disagree, that the Gemara has made a comparison over here, which in theory, one could perhaps query? What's the comparison? Let's have it absolutely clear on the table. I've got chita, slice of chita. I've got sa'ira, but it's a whole loaf of bread. And the Gemara says, which one do you make a bracha on? Chita. That wins the day. Why? But this is shalem. Couldn't care less. Chita. Very choshev. So he's definitely telling me, the Divrei HaKoel, that Choshev trumps... I agree. Okay. What does the Gemara say? 1 second. It's Machlokes Tanoim. Really, where? Because in Trumas we have a discussion, do you give this small one, which is Shalim, or do you give the big onion, which is, even though it's not Shalim. So what's the discussion? Choshev versus Shalim, and it's a discussion. Is there anybody here around the table who would agree, perhaps disagree, that one could query the comparison? And that one could in theory say, the case of Chito and Sa'ira is not the same case as the big onion and the small onion. I can think for the moment of perhaps two different reasons why the two discussions are perhaps not comparable. Obviously I'm wrong, because the Gemara says they are comparable. But in theory, perhaps one could discuss that there are two differences between the two shaitas.
In the case of the Gemara, we talk about two different meanings. Barley,
Chiton,
Sa'ar, and Chiton.
Okay.
Whereas the case of, from Trumois, you're talking about a single entity, you're talking about a batzah.
Okay, and therefore.
And it's only size. It's not. You're talking about size. In one case, you're talking about size, the other, you're not talking about size. You're talking about.
That's one difference. Not the fact that it's two meanings. Chita and Siren, like we said until this stage, we're dealing with at the same size. Rashi said right at the beginning of the sugya, if one is larger and smaller, that's that we're not talking about that. Where Rashi is coming from, we don't yet know. So Rashi has taught us that the whole sugya for the moment of brachas is talking about what? Two equal sized pieces or loaves of bread. So why was Chita winning the day over Sa'ira? Because Choshev. Okay. Now turn to the onion story. What's Avraham claiming? That what? Over there, Godoil versus Cotton, you're allowed to call it more Choshev than the Cotton. But it's a different type of Choshivus. We're not really comparing like with like. You're telling me that what? Oh! Chita and Sairin! Everybody said you've got to go with the Chita. Why? Because Chita is more Choshev. And yet when it comes to the onion story, there's an opinion that says that no, you go with the Shalim! And you ignore Choshev. So I could in theory turn around and answer, yeah, do you know why he ignores Choshev over there? Because it's not that Choshev. Why is it not that Choshev?
The same thing.
Because both the same thing. It's just one is bigger and one is smaller. So I agree that's a difference, but who said that that's a differential the same as Chito versus Sa'ira? So why is the Gemara calling that a contradiction? One says, oh, Machlokes Tanaim, and one Tana doesn't really agree with our story. Which Tana? The Tana that says you go with the Shalim, the Tana Kama. What did the Tana Kama say? Which onion do you give to the Kohen?
Shalim.
According to the Tana Kama, you give cotton Shalim. And what's the Gemara querying? That is a stira to the Chita and Sa'ira story. Because what did we say there? That we ignore Shalim, and what do? We go for the Choshev. Oh, not the Shalim. Why can't I turn around to you and say, excuse me, the Tana Kama would be more than happy to agree with the Chita and Sa'ira. Yeah, Chita versus Sa'ira, that's called Choshev. Size, as far as I'm concerned, either size is not a factor in my eyes, or even if it is, but it's not such an important factor. I want to ask you a question.
Why can't you just say that?
1 second, I want to ask you a question. According to the Tana Kama, the Tana Kama says, small onion, shalim, that's what you give to the kohen. I want to ask you a shaila. According to the Tana Kama, what would it be if I've got two onions and they're both shalim, one is big, one is small?
So it would make a difference. Maybe it wouldn't make a difference.
Could be. I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know that the Tana Kama relates to size at all. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. And you know what, Ramosha Zelik? Even if he does, Even if I'll tell you in theory that if they're both Sholem, you give the bigger one, but say that because if there's nothing else to distinguish them, fine, we'll go with size. But versus Sholem, oh wow, Sholem is the king Maila. That's the king. So he goes with Sholem. But when you've got Chito and Saira, maybe he agrees that what? That Chito, that's so Choshev, that it would trump Sholem. So who says it's a contradiction at all?
In fact, the Gemara uses the word Adif.
That's what it means. Adif means...
It's
no, that's what it means. It trumps. Adif means okay. President of America. Trumps. That's what it means. Fine. So for that, in theory, one query that one could have on the Gemara's Shaila. So you're not really comparing like with like. Chita and Saira is one mode of measuring Chashivas. You've introduced a different mode of measuring Chashivas and it's called size. I don't know, maybe the Tanakhama says size is not a factor. Or even if it is a factor, but it's not a very significant factor. Definitely not Trump, doesn't Trump Sholem. But Chita, oh, Chita is very significant. Fair question. There is, I think, perhaps another distinction to be made, even more radical.
Truma.
Yeah. Who's talking about brachas over here? Maybe brachas has one set of rules and truma has a different set of rules. I said in the Gemara, Divrei HaKoel, you make a bracha on thee. Chita over and above the Seir. Oh, but Truma says not that way. What does it say by Truma? What, did he make a bracha? Nobody ever discussed brachas then. Who's discussing brachas?
Are you supposed to give your nicest?
Oh, so you're telling me that what? You're supposed to give your nicest thing to the Kohen. And therefore, if this is considered nicer, quote unquote, with regard to giving the Kohen, then presumably the same would hold true for the bracha. I've got to give my bracha on, make a bracha on the nicest or the most important. So maybe that's why the Gemara held you can make a comparison. But either way, in theory, we could have distinguished between the two cases, either in a technicality, who says size is a factor, or more broadly than that, why are we comparing truma to brachas? Okay, but either way, the Gemara apparently did see fit to compare the two, and that, therefore, is the discussion in the Gemara. That we have a bit of a stira. What's the stira? Again, sorry to go over it again, but we have to be clear. In a complicated Gemara like this, we keep having to go over the stages. The Gemara initially said that Chita trumps Sa'ira, even though Sa'ira is Sholem. We ignore Sholem in favor of Choshev. So Choshev is Odif Misholem. And yet we see in the Truma story that whether Choshev is Odif Misholem or not, it's Machlekes. So why are you telling me Divrei HaKoel? Everybody would agree. How do you know everybody agrees? Machlekes Tanoim. Zot the Gemara. That, no. It's not a steer to our case. First wide line. Hey, chade ikke koyin. If there is a coin available, you have to know. We have to be very, very clear about this. When you're mafresh truma, there are two separate mitzvahs in truma, and it could well be that they're completely unrelated. What are the two, if I would ask you, what are the two mitzvahs of truma, what would you say? Two separate aspects, what are they?
Separate the truma.
Number one, you've got to separate truma.
Second is given to a kohen.
Number two is given to a kohen. Two separate issues. Why do you have to separate it? Because otherwise all my produce is tevel. I can't eat it. I also have to give it to a kohen. What would be in theory if I separate it and I don't bother giving it to a kohen? So I'm definitely mevatel a mitzvah and a Torah, but is my food permissible to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it is. It's not tevel. Two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah called hafroshas truma, and there's a mitzvah called nesinas truma. Now, what's the difference? Difference is, like you said before, Ram Nachum, if a Kohen is available, so I'm therefore going to mekayim the mitzvah of nesinas trumot, I've got to give him the best I've got. I don't have to give him a lot, because I didn't even give him a small amount, but whatever I've got, whatever I'm going to give the best possible one. What happens if there's no Kohen available? That does not exempt me from separating truma. I've got to separate truma. But here there's no Kohen available. If there's no Kohen available, there's no point really discussing which one is more chashuv or which one I'm going to is nicer. What's the difference? We're not going to a Kohen anyway. At least not at the moment, because not here. So what would then be my prime concern? I've got to separate it, but I'd like to separate something that will last. Why do I want to separate something that will last?
So you can give it to a Kohen.
But I can eventually give a Kohen next week. The Kohen's out of town now, so when he comes back next week from United States of America, I can give it to him. If the Kohen is over here and he can eat it today, so it's not going to go moldy, so I give him the best I've got. But if he's only coming back in a month's time, there's no point going for the best, choicest one, because by the time he gets back, the botzel, the onion's going to go off. So now let's look in the good one. First wide line. Hey, chadeika kayin. If the kayin would be available, then kula alma loy pligi. Don't worry, there is indeed no machloikas de choshev odif. And which one would that mean? Which one would you give? Which is the chashuv?
Larger.
The 251. And does that fit in with the Chitan Sa'ira story? Yes. What did we say in Chitan Sa'ira? What trumps? Chashuv or Shalem?
Chashuv.
That's why I'm giving the Chitta. The Gemara said it's Machloikas Tanoim. It's not a Machloikas Tanoim. Everybody agrees with regard to Botzel, with regard to Truma. If the Kohen is here, Choshev wins the day. What would you give him? Nice, juicy, fat onion. Don't give him some little, scrawny, tiny little onion. You know, Shalom.
Choshev is size.
So Choshev for the moment is size, and it trumps Shalom. That's not the Machloikas Tanoim. Ki pligi, when did these Tanoim have a Machloikas? The Lek Kohen. When there's no Kohen there, the Tanan, because we have a Mishnah, and it says, Kol Mokoyim Shiyesh Kohen. Wherever you have a Kohen available, Toire Minayofa, that's what you said before, then I should donate him what? Minayofa, the nicest available. And what would the nicest available be? What would we've decided that, what is that?
The larger one.
The larger one, why? Because it's chashuv.
250-gram steak. 250. 100-gram steak.
Right, even though it's an onion, and that would trump shalim. But the kol mokayim she'ein kairin. If there is no kohen available, then toireim min hamiskayim. What does that mean? Toireim min hamiskayim.
That which will last.
But Rabbi Yehuda Omer that no. Ein teirim elo min hayofa. What does Rabbi Yehuda maintain? Even if the Kohen is not here,
size
you always go for choshev. So, if the Kohen is here presently in front of me, then everybody would agree, which one do I give him?
Larger.
I give him the larger one. That's choshev, and choshev trumps shalim. When the Kohen's not here, then we have a machlekes. What should you go for? Do you still go with choshev? Or are you pragmatic? You should go with that which will last. So the Tanna Kamma says you should give the cotton shalem. Why does he say give the cotton shalem? Which one will last longer, the small hole or the large half?
Small hole.
Right, because when you, as you know, you open a vegetable and then it goes moldy quicker. Therefore, the reason why the Tanna Kamma says that you give the cotton shalem is not because he holds that shalim trumps chashuv. It's not because of that. What is it?
It's practical.
It's a practical thing. We're talking about the Kohen's not here. Therefore, as far as he's concerned, what's the point of giving him the best thing? Rather, give something that will last. And whereas, what does Rabbi Yehuda disagree? He holds that what? No, no, you always give the more chashuv.
So in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, you will ultimately
could be mevatel that second part of the mitzvah, giving to the kohen.
According to the Tanakhama, you say.
Oh,
sorry, according to Rebuda, right? Because I'm going to be Teira Mina Yofer, and Shkeir, the Kohen comes back a month later, here's your large 250 which has got mold growing over it. Would you like to make mold soup? Fine. Now, let's just see Rashi, and then we have to sum up. Says Rashi, B'mokoim sheyesh Kohen. If indeed I have a Kohen, in other words, V'nois noiloi miyad, what does that mean?
It's a murder way.
And we're giving it to him immediately, in which case the fact that it does last or doesn't last is irrelevant. We're giving it to him now, he can use it right now. Then under those circumstances, what do I give him? If the Kohen is here, the big one. Why? Because it's Choshev, and everybody agrees that Choshev trumps
Shalom.
Baba Mokim Sheim Kohen. Then the first opinion is Tzorich Li Yisrael. The Jew has to, the Yisrael has to shiyatsni'enu. What does yatsni'enu mean? He has to hide it, he has to store it. Ad sheyim sakoyin. Until such stage that he will find a koyin, litnoi loi, to give it to him. Chatzibotzel ein miskayim. And half onion, even though it might be very large, it might be very choshev, but it's not going to last. Now, let's sum up. And now I think we will understand a Rashi that we perhaps didn't understand in the beginning. The Gemara spoke about altogether three cases. We began with Psisim and Shleimim. Rav Huna says, do whatever you like. Make a bracha on either. Rabbi Eichmann says, it's preferable to make a bracha on the Shalem. We don't have to. What did Rashi say there? Look in the first Rashi. V'im ha-psisim g'daylim. If the psisim are g'daylim, then what? Tzorich levorich aleihem. We said in the beginning that Rashi is introducing size. We don't really know where he's getting it from. Do we now know where he's getting it from? Absolutely. Why? Because the maskana of the Gemara was, if I've got a choice, Choshev versus Shalem, what's the halacha? Choshev. Who holds that? Everybody. Number one. Number two, the Gemara said that Choshev and size is the same thing. If it's big, it's Choshev. So that now we understand Rashi is beautiful. Now we understand exactly what Rashi meant. If you learn the end of the sugya, you understand the beginning of the sugya much better. It must be, therefore, that when the Gemara began discussing Psisim versus Shalem, it must be that what, Rav Nachum, we're dealing with Psisim and Shalem that are all
same size.
Because the minute one is bigger, game over. I'm not interested the other one is Shalim. Choshev trumps Shalim. This you have to remember, my rabbi say. Choshev trumps Shalim. Choshev trumps Shalim. Choshev trumps Shalim. That's what emerged from our Gemara according to all opinions. How many examples do we have now of Choshev trumping Shalim? Example number one was Chita Prusa versus Sa'ira Shalem, and the Gemara said that everybody would agree that what?
Chita.
Why?
Choshev.
Example number one. Example number two is with Truma. We thought we got into trouble, but we got out of trouble. There's no machlekas. The machlekas with regard to Truma is only when there's no kain and you've got practical cheshbonos. But if the kain is here, what do I give him? Which onion?
Choshev.
Big one. Why? Choshev. The other one is Shalem. Don't care. So these are the two cases that we've got of Choshev versus Shalem. If we want, we can add now a third case, and that's the case that Rashi told us. That if I've got two breads, one is a Prusa and one is a Shalem, and they're both Chita, or they're both Sa'ira, but one is large, the Prusa is large, then what will be the halacha, says Rashi? We make a bracha on the large one. The other one is Shalem, couldn't care less.
second and third case, chashuv means the same thing. But in the first case, chashuv doesn't mean size.
Right,
just means pieces.
Right, right. That's what I said. So that we're emerging today with a very important rule. That's why we went a little bit slowly today, because otherwise you go too fast, it just all becomes one big blur. Choshev and Shalim. Now, as you just pointed out, Choshev, we have two examples of Choshev. Either Choshev, it's more Choshev inherently, intrinsically. What was that? Chita and Saira. Or it's not more Choshev inherently, it just happens to be bigger. Apparently, that's also called Choshev. So we have to remember, again, we've learned this according to Rashi. Whether this will hold true according to Tosis, we'll still have to see. But according to Rashi, there are various examples of Choshev. One example is Chito versus Saira. It's more Choshev. Another example is size. But either way, the rule is the same. Choshev versus Shalem. What's the halacha? Choshev trumps Shalem, period. Nobody disagrees. Now, where I don't have choshev, and I don't have size, now I've got a discussion, Sholem versus Prusa. We're talking about they're the same size, and they're both Chitim and Soira. So what's the halacha then?
You pick what you want.
Sholem.
You got slice and you got a shalem, they're both the same size. What's the halacha? They're both the same size. They're both the same size.
A pious person would do them both.
Oh, it's a machlaikus. Rav Huna said you could do whatever you like. Rav Yochanan said it's preferable to go with the shalem. So you have to, it's preferable. So it would seem to be that Sholem doesn't really get a good press in our Gemara. Sholem didn't really ever make it. The best we could do for a Sholem was, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a mitzvah and a muvchah. If there's no other distinguishing factor, not Beseda, go for the Sholem versus the Prusa, rather than the Prusa. Beseda. But we haven't found one case yet when the halacha is you must make a bracha on the shalim. We haven't found one case yet, not one. According to Rav Huna, it's not even a mitzvah and a muvcha, you could do whatever you like. Absolutely. According to Rav Huna, there is no maila whatsoever in shalim. No maila. Same size, same chashivas, everything else is irrelevant. According to Rav Huna, there's a little bit of a maila. Shalim is a mitzvah and a muvcha, don't get overexcited about it. But once you bring chashiv to the scene, oh, everybody jumps up and down. Then, kul alma moed, everybody agrees that choshev wins the day. Either chita versus seira, or a large onion versus a small onion. The only exception to that is if there's no kohen available. So either way, I'm not giving it to the kohen. So therefore, I might have to be more practical. Maybe I should give him a small one because that will keep. And if it says no, I should still give the large one. That is what is emerging from our sukkah. Okay. I would recommend the following in order to be ready for next time. We should continue the Gemara, the Yorei Shamayim. And we should try and make our way to the bottom of the Gemara. At least, I would say, all the way to the bottom. Even though the last few lines are not really perhaps so connected, but we need to get a bit of a picture of the whole story. And then we're going to go slowly, very slowly. There's a lot of tesisim over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tesisim to learn. Tricky tesisim. We're going to have to go very, very slowly. And then when we've done that...
We'll give an order like...
Yeah, no, in order. For the moment, we've only seen enough Gemara to see four tesisim. Avol, Ketanoi, Umar, and Kol Hecha. But either way, we're not doing tesisim yet. We're going to continue the Gemara to the bottom of the Yomid. We're going to see tesisim. And then, anybody have the Mara Mekomos here?
Yeah.
Then we're going to go back in Yetz Hashem to the previous sugya. Tznuma. Okay? It's on the first wide line. Omar Khibashi passed Snuma Bakora. First wide line. We're going to go back there and have a look. At the Tosas again at the bottom. Now we've learned this Tosas already. But we'll understand Tosas better now having seen the Gemara and the Rashba number one on the sheets as well.
Should we do the first four?
Gemara Rashi till the end. This is the story now. Gemara Rashi till the end of the page. Then we're going to go through the Tosasim slowly. And then we'll go back to the previous sugya.
So we won't get to this one.
Yeah, we might go back to the previous sugya even before Tosasim. Maybe we should do Tosasim here. Keep local. So we need to see the Rashba, and we need to see the Rosh. That's number two on the sheets. That's also upcoming. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambams will leave for the moment. The only reason why I got so long is because I put all the Shulchan Aruch and all the Mishabura. We're trying to concentrate more on Halacha Lemaisa and these sugyas because it's very relevant. So Halacha Shabbos as well, we'll see. But for the moment, number one and two on the sheets. Okay, good to be back.
Yeah.